Matt Whitaker, former U.S. Acting Attorney General.
This is such a great conversation about America, our future, what's going to save our republic.
We have a great football player. Matt Whitaker is here. Matt.
They tried to bury me. They didn't realize I was a C.
It's a touchdown. Whitaker.
Former acting U.S. Attorney General.
Under President Trump.
I'm going to be an unwavering supporter of law enforcement.
Welcome to Liberty and Justice with your host, Matt Whitaker.
I'm your host, Matt Whitaker. We're here live at CPAC, and I'm so glad to be joined by Member of Congress, Lauren Boebert. How are you?
I'm doing great. It is so great to be here. It's already so enthusiastic to just walk in the doors and be surrounded by patriots, especially in the Washington, D.C. area. That is not something I see a lot of here, but patriots certainly are outnumbering the others who are here full time.
Yeah, and there's a lot of enthusiasm. You can see I did a panel earlier with Senator Tuberville, and you know, one of the discussions and one of the things that he essentially impressed upon me is it's great that we have the House now, and it's great that you're on Oversight Committee, but we need the presidency. Without the presidency, it's still very difficult to ultimately get our agenda done.
Correct. And you know, it's easier when Democrats have the gavel for them, because they can easily pick off 10 of our senators to break a filibuster. And we are going to have a much more difficult time breaking off 10 Democrats to break a filibuster in the Senate. So there's a lot of things that we can do to get the ball rolling for 2024 when we do have both the Senate and the presidency to go with our House majority. Right now, what's so important in the House are the hearings that we're going to have, the oversight that we're going to have. That is the role of the House of Congress, is to have oversight in these federal agencies. And so I serve on the Oversight and Accountability Committee, and I'm excited for what Chairman Comer plans to do in that committee. Subpoenas should be rolling out, and we'll get some of these folks in, you know, whether it's with the ATF and what they're trying to do with pistol braces and make tens of millions of Americans felons overnight. You know, the ATF kind of forgot the separation of powers and that they are not lawmakers. We are. There was no law made about these pistol braces. So, we do need all three of us to have the majority so we can actually accomplish something. But we're definitely setting that path forward. I think we did a great job in showing what the American people, what Republicans intend to do just in our first week of Congress with the speaker's race.
Yeah, so the subpoenas are coming reminded me when I was in President Trump's cabinet. We sat down at a cabinet meeting and he had this poster just sitting on the table that said sanctions are coming.
Yes.
it was like Game of Thrones like of him. And I think how there's so much oversight to do. And it languished for 2 years, in the first 2 years of the Biden administration. How do you prioritize that work? How do you, obviously there's a lot of issues of the day, but the Biden administration is doing a lot of other damage below the radar. So how do you prioritize all that work?
Right, prioritizing it probably is our most difficult challenge, because we can go to any agency and demand oversight because we see how they are failing. I think as far as our country stands, the southern border is a priority. One of the first hearings we had, we brought in Border Patrol agents that were ahead of a couple of sectors down there at the southern border. And I mean, if we don't have a southern border that is secure, we don't have a country. Americans are dying because of the fentanyl that is coming into our country. There's human trafficking taking place, and the cartel are running our southern border. So that was one of the first things we prioritize, along with the fraud and abuse and waste from all the COVID spending, over $500 billion lost, in fraud. I mean, this is something that there needs to be an account for, because that's American tax dollars that were wasted in that. And then, of course, the Twitter files. We just had part one of that hearing, but Americans were censored by big tech from the direction of the federal government, infringing on your First Amendment right to free speech.
Yeah, and I'm sure, if I remember right, you were directly impacted by by Twitter and the shadow banning, and then ultimately deplatforming. And it, you know, for me, nothing like that happened, but I can tell you there was a moment in time where not only did like you lose thousands of followers at any given mm-hmm. week, but also the most frustrating thing is your reach was dramatically curtailed.
Absolutely.
Like I would send out a Bible verse on Sundays. You know, it's like what was on my heart. And I remember for a while, you know, they'd get tremendous reach. And then all of a sudden it just was like, you know, I could barely get 100 people to see it.
Yes. Well, John 3:16, censor that immediately.
Hate speech.
Yes. We don't want the world being saved. What is this? So that is something that we went after. You know, we had former FBI agent Baker in there, and we had some other Rothwell. We had all these folks in there to make them answer to what they did. It was great to have them there, but we still need accountability. I want at some point in these hearings, we need to be having referrals sent over to the DOJ. I want inspectors generals involved in this and making recommendations here. So we have to get to the bottom of it. They can't just be dog and pony shows. We have real work to do.
Real work to do on behalf of the American people who, you know, are for too long have been ignored, and I think, you know, you've been such a warrior in representing your constituents and trying to get accountability from this administration, and I think it's got to feel really good to finally be in the majority.
Yes, it does.
Because in the House, if you're in the minority, you just get run over.
Yes.
And I expect that Speaker McCarthy will do the same thing that was done to us, you know, for...
I sure hope so.
Yeah.
And, you know, in the minority, all we have is our voice. That's why it was such a big deal that members of Congress were banned from Twitter. All we have is our speech to make known to the American people what is happening, and we were censored. And that first week of Congress, I see a friend from Colorado, that first week of Congress, we made sure that the rules in the House reflected what we wanted to do this Congress, and that we had those tools available to us. And Speaker McCarthy has those tools available to him as well. So I'm glad we took a few extra days to make sure we got that right. A lot of people were saying that Speaker's race was chaos, it was dysfunction. I'm a mom of four boys. It was anything but chaos and dysfunction.
Nobody was bleeding.
Nobody was bleeding. We were having conversations with our colleagues on both sides of the aisle. It was fantastic. An actual debate. I hadn't seen debate like that since I had been elected. So it was really great. And we are going to have these tools available now to be effective, to prove to the American people we deserve the majority in the House now, and we deserve the majority in the House, Senate, and in the White House in 2024.
We're going to work hard for that. So here at CPAC, you know, it's a great crowd. It's building. I expect, you know, by Saturday late afternoon when President Trump speaks, it will be a standing room only packed house. What are you hoping to tell people? What are you going to communicate to these great patriots from all over the country?
Yes. You know, there's always standing room only at CPAC, especially when President Trump shows up. America loves him. But when I speak, I certainly want to explain to people exactly what happened in the speaker's race. A lot of people don't know the concessions that we received. And so to talk through that, of course, talk through oversight. But then also, we're facing the debt ceiling and appropriations bills that are coming up. The appropriations bills, that's where we're going to have the actual policy that will allow us to fix a lot of what Joe Biden and the Democrats have done to our country. Yeah. And the debt ceiling, that's more of a monetary fight and a spending fight. But we need to defund wokeism. Every authorization that these agencies have that allows them to be woke, it has to be defunded. Every woke program has to be defunded. You have critical race theory in your school, well, you don't get federal funding anymore. That's how I think it should be, and that's what we need to go through line item with these agencies and say, you go woke, you go broke.
Yeah. No, I like that. And I think the other thing that's going to be so important is, you know, we have a tension as conservatives. We don't want the federal government involved in education. In fact, many presidential candidates have run and said, we want to get rid of the Department of Education.
Right.
Rick Perry,
my
friend Rick Perry, I don't think he could remember one of the departments he forgot, but he wanted to get rid of several of the departments. And I think that's the tension is, you know, this local control is in our DNA, but at the same time we see the carnage in our schools and what they're trying to teach our kids.
Yes.
And so it's really hard to, you know, to battle that instinct to want to do something, because again, we know that you shouldn't be teaching gender issues to second graders.
Right.
I mean, I can't even remember, like, second grade was all about learning how to read. I mean,
yes.
Like, let's
yes.
be honest. And so it just is surprising that, obviously, there's a great and amazing movement, like in my home state of Iowa, where Kim Reynolds led this school choice.
Yes.
And we're going to see, I think, some innovation, some competition, the types of things that we believe in that hopefully will return a renaissance to
right.
to our schools. But, you know, I think wokeism is probably the biggest challenge to our success in the future.
And it's our biggest detriment. And with the Department of Education, we're not going to get that defunded this Congress. Many of us would like to. I'm on Congressman Thomas Massey's bill to end funding to the Department of Education in December 31st, 2023.
Right.
So that is a bill that I support.
Right.
But we have to get aggressive and say, you know, there is going to be money spent in the Department of Education that is going to be funded. What do we want that funding to go towards? What do we not want it to go towards? Because there are schools that are worse than, that are teaching worse than just gender ideology.
Yeah.
I mean, they have comprehensive sex ed. They're teaching kids how to have and enjoy sex and even same-sex sex, how to pleasure themselves.
Wow.
I mean, this is not something
right.
elementary students should learn, or nor any student in a public school. So, these are the things that we need to go after and cut their funding.
Yeah, well, I knew we could have talked for hours, and so we only had 10 minutes, but it's been really a pleasure having
you
on. Lauren Boebert, Member of Congress from the great state of Colorado.
Thank you,
thanks for your time, and we'll be back here on CPAC Now.